Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Harab Meir Kahana, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I want to speak again briefly about Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, who, of course, is expected to run for president in 2016, and JTF supports Ted Cruz's candidacy for president. Last week, we spoke about an incident in which Ted Cruz appeared before a group called In Defense of Christians, which is supposed to defend the rights of Christian minorities in the Middle East, who are being persecuted and even murdered by the Muslim majority, of course, in the Middle East. And that really is a true human rights issue. So this group seemed to be a legitimate group that rose to supposedly defend the rights of a Christian minority in the Middle East. Ted Cruz was invited to speak, and he immediately accepted. When he went there, Ted Cruz did what he always does when he speaks about the Middle East or when he speaks about foreign policy. He immediately started off by expressing his very strong support for Israel and his commitment to Israel. And Arab so-called Christians in the audience started booing him. These Arab so-called Christians immediately started loudly booing him and trying to shout him down when he started speaking in defense of Israel, when he said that Israel is the best friend you will ever have and Israel is the best ally we have and making pro-Israel statements. They started booing him and shouting him down. He then said, if you're against the Jews, you're also against the Christians. If you're against Israel, you're also against America. Anyone who's against the Jews is against the Christians. Anyone who's against Israel is against America. And if you will not stand with Israel and the Jewish people, then I will not stand with you, he said. And then he walked off the stage. Now, you would think that the Jewish people would make him a hero after this, that he would be the unquestioned candidate of ours for the presidency in 2016. He so obviously is a zealous and sincere supporter of Israel. He really, in his gut, supports Israel because of the Bible, because of God's commandment that you have to support Israel and that the Jews have to return to their land and that you have to bless the Jews and support and defend the Jews. Because of the biblical commandment, he, as a Bible-believing Christian, zealously believes in the cause of Israel. This is very important to him. And so every sane Jew would say, wow, this would be fantastic if this guy were in the White House. The problem is, how many sane Jews are there in our generation? I mean, 78% of American Jews voted for the Muslim anti-Semite Barack Hussein Obama when he ran for president in 2008. 78% voted for a Muslim Jew hater who has done everything possible to destroy Israel, who constantly pressures Israel to commit suicide, doing everything possible to undermine Israel's struggle to survive. So when you're dealing with a community of mental cases who support all of their enemies and who do everything that is the opposite of what would benefit their own people and help their own brothers and sisters, they do the opposite. When you're dealing with a self-hating community of mental cases, this is what you get. And of course, there are exceptions to the rule, but they're exceptions. The majority of American Jews are insane. Every sane Jew, after seeing Ted Cruz do what he did in front of that group, would say, I want to support Ted Cruz for president. Well, we spoke about that incident in detail last week of how Ted Cruz proved once again that he is a genuine supporter of Israel and that he is the candidate who is worthy of our support when he runs for president. We spoke about that extensively last week on last week's SJTF. This week, I just want to briefly mention that Ted Cruz did something else now. He actually did an interview with the Washington Free Beacon, which is a conservative, I don't know what it is. I think it's a conservative website. Maybe it's also a newspaper. I don't know. But he did an interview with them. And in the interview, he said almost word for word what JTF has said. He said the number one threat, the biggest threat to us, is not ISIS or the Islamic State. This terrorist group called the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, that's not the biggest threat, even though that's what everybody is focusing on, including the twisted, self-hating Jews of the Israeli government. Now everybody's focusing on this ragtag group of terrorists instead of focusing on the threat of a nuclear holocaust from Muslim Nazi terrorist Iran acquiring nuclear weapons. Muslim Nazi terrorist Iran is racing to acquire nuclear weapons. That is an existential threat. That's a threat that threatens the very survival. That threatens the very survival of America and Israel. There's a threat of a nuclear holocaust, God forbid. And Barack Hussein Obama, John Kerry, and even some Republicans like Lindsey Graham, that imbecile who's the senator from South Carolina, have said, well, maybe we should work with Iran against the Islamic State, against ISIS. They're actually willing to help Iran now. They'll help Iran acquire nuclear weapons. They'll eliminate the sanctions. They'll let Iran acquire nuclear weapons just so they could fight this ragtag group of terrorists, which is not an existential threat in any way. And I'm not saying they won't eventually become a terrorist threat. They may become a terrorist threat, but they will never be 1,000th of the threat that Iran is right now. They will not be a huge threat unless they actually take over countries and can also build a nuclear program. If they also eventually acquire nuclear weapons, then they would be a huge threat, but they're nowhere near that. Right now, the threat is Iran. And instead of dealing with that threat, the Israeli government and the Obama-Kerry regime and the Republicans in Congress are all focused on ISIS and are even willing to let Iran do whatever they want with their building nuclear bombs, their nuclear program. They're letting them get away with planning nuclear genocide. They're letting them get away with everything so that they can focus on ISIS. This is unbelievable. What a farce. What a farce. And so we in JTF have been warning about this all along. We're like a lone voice in the wilderness warning about this. Well, there's another voice now warning about it. In an interview with the Washington Free Beacon, I think that was the name of the newspaper, the Washington or the website, Washington Free Beacon, Ted Cruz said what we have been saying. He's the first major leader that I know of in the United States or Israel who now is saying what we're saying. That Iran, a nuclearized Iran, God forbid, that is the big threat. That's the number one threat. He said ISIS is also a threat. I mean, all Muslim terrorist groups are a threat. Of course, they all pose a threat to some degree or another. But Iran is a much, much bigger and much more dangerous threat. And Ted Cruz warned that the Obama administration, Obama and Kerry, are appeasing Iran and helping Iran. And that is far worse than the threat posed by ISIS and the Islamic State. So once again, we see Ted Cruz saying almost word for word what JTF is saying. He is the only one who gets it. He is so sane and so logical and so sensible. He's the one guy who really gets it. Now, I also think Mike Huckabee is very good on the issues of the Middle East. I think Mike Huckabee is also a very sincere, Bible-believing supporter of Israel and the Jewish people and really loves the Jewish people. Mike Huckabee visited Israel 3 times just this year. This year alone, he visited Israel 3 times. I think he's visited Israel maybe 30 times in his lifetime. He does love Israel as well. I hope Mike Huckabee doesn't run for president together with Ted Cruz. I mean, if they both run for president, they're going to split the evangelical vote. I hope that doesn't happen. But we like both of them, but we're supporting Ted Cruz. I think the time has come for Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz is better than Huckabee on the other issues, on issues like amnesty and taxes and many of the other issues. Ted Cruz is a down-the-line conservative, a real principled conservative. He's better on the other issues as well. So I hope Mike Huckabee doesn't run, even though we love Mike Huckabee. And if Mike Huckabee ever ran and won the Republican nomination, we would support him enthusiastically. But I think Ted Cruz is the candidate with a better chance, and he's the candidate whose time has come. And again, I think on the issues, I think he's better than Huckabee on the other issues. And the other issues are also important to us. If America becomes, I mean, if we have amnesty and America becomes a third world banana republic, you will only have people like Obama in the White House forever. You could forget about any other elections. You will have Muslim anti-Semites and other and left-wing anti-Semites in the White House forever. If we have amnesty and we let third world people flood into the United States and take over America and become the majority in America, which is where we're headed. Ted Cruz wants to secure the border and wants an end to this insanity. Huckabee has a very mixed record on that issue. So Cruz is better on these other issues. So I just wanted to mention that, another example of why we're supporting Ted Cruz, why we're so enthusiastic about Ted Cruz. On the issue of Iran, he's the only one who is saying what really has to be said right now. He's literally, I mean, I could have written the statement that he made on Iran. It could have come right out of JTF, the statement he made on Iran. So he certainly is our candidate if he runs, God willing, and it looks like he's going to run. It does look like he's going to run. And by the way, just one other point before we move on. The presidential campaign, as I've been mentioning for the past several weeks, it's beginning very soon. Because in American politics, the presidential campaign, and I'm talking about the really active presidential campaign, where you have debates and fundraising and speeches and visiting the early primary and caucus states, the real active presidential campaign lasts 2 years. The election, of course, the actual election for president is in November 2016, which is a little bit more than 2 years from now. But the first caucuses, the first voting on selecting delegates and the very important caucus, the vital caucuses in Iowa, that's in January. That takes place in January of 2016. And for more than a year, the candidates are going to be campaigning there and declaring their candidacies and fundraising and speech making, and there are going to be debates throughout 2015. Next year, you're going to see debates and campaigning and a real active, hectic schedule. The campaign will begin next year. In fact, it's going to begin right after this year's November election in another few weeks. Another few weeks, we're going to have the November 2014 midterm elections, where we elect a certain number of governors and we elect one-third of the senators and elect members of Congress. This November, in another 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to have our election this November. We call that the midterm congressional election. And once that election is over, the campaign for president begins. That's when the campaign for president begins. That's how American politics works. And it continues on for the next 2 years until the caucuses begin in January of 2016. And then we have, you know, and then eventually, you know, you go through the primaries and the whole process, and eventually you have the conventions and leading up to the election in November 2016. So in another few weeks, less than 2 months, another few weeks, the presidential campaign begins. So I'm hoping JTF will play a role, will play a helpful role in assisting our good friend Ted Cruz, because I know that the brain-dead other Jews are not going to help him. The other Jewish organizations are not going to help him. The rich Jews are not going to help him. I already know this. I know this from endless experience. The Jews always pick the worst people, always do crazy things, if you're talking about American Jews. So there has to be at least one voice out there that shows Ted Cruz that at least someone gets it, and at least someone understands, and at least someone supports it. And I do think we could have somewhat of an impact, because most of the voters in the Iowa caucuses, which is the first state to vote in January of 2016, most of the voters there are evangelical Christians, and they actually do like what we say about Israel. So, just wanted you to know, that's the schedule, that's the calendar, and I just wanted you to see that there's just another reason here why we support Ted Cruz in 2016, and we support him enthusiastically. And of course the odds are against him. He's anti-establishment. Of course the odds are against him. But I still think we have an obligation to try to help him. And to do our best, because it would be a dream come true if he did become president. One other thing I want to mention is, you know that Shlomo is building independent news websites for us. We're not talking about a page on Facebook or on YouTube or on Twitter. We're talking about our own independent news websites on our own server, on our own website. In other words, instead of the Hebrew main page, hayamin.org, and the English main page, jtf.org, our main pages are going to be replaced by news websites. We're going to set up a news website where we're going to be able to have daily updates, and and God willing, we'll have polls and articles and videos, and, you know, we'll keep it active. Unfortunately, it's taking longer than we expected because it's actually complicated. You know, to enable people to anonymously comment and to post our polls and to move things around with the flexibility we want, with the theme that we want. It's called a theme, by the way, you know, the type of news page you want to set up. It's called a theme. The whole thing is actually pretty complex. So it is taking us longer. God willing, you know, we're going to get this done, God willing. But it has been taking us longer than we expected. We're sorry about that. Shlomo is working very hard, but he's pretty much all by himself because he's the only person with the technical knowledge who can do this in our movement. So Shlomo is pretty much, he's by himself, he's doing all this, and that's not easy. Usually, when you have someone that wants to set up, let's say a newspaper wants to set up a news website, or a television station, or a professional news website that will be updated daily and that can change. When you want to do this, usually you have a whole team of people. You have a whole team that works, a whole staff that works at doing this, and one person specializes in polls, and one person specializes in the video section, and so on and so forth. We have one person doing everything in terms of the technical stuff because we only have one person on staff, Shlomo. So, you know, it's taking longer than we expected. He is working so hard. He is working so hard. I mean, I'm talking about 15, 16-hour days he's putting in. He's trying so hard to figure everything out and make it so that it'll, you know, so that it'll be a page we'll be proud of. It'll be a website we'll be proud of, and I think it will be. I think you'll like it when it comes up. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Of course, we're going to do one in Hebrew for the Israeli Jews, and we're going to do one in English. The one in English probably will be dominated by a lot of political stories on Ted Cruz and, of course, on our struggles with AIPAC and self-hating American organizations and all types of juicy issues. I think you're going to like even the English page. I think you're going to like, and I say even the English page because the Hebrew page, of course, we expect that to be the most active one from our experience. We think that's going to be, God willing, that'll be the hyperactive one. But even the English page, I think, is going to be exciting and interesting going into the election. I think it's going to be a page that really might get some attention here. So, just wanted you to know we're still working on it. I don't know when we're going to be able to finish, but we're getting there. We're making a lot of progress. When I say we, I should say Shlomo. Shlomo's making a lot of progress, and we're figuring things out, but there's a lot of code here, and it is complicated. It's complicated stuff, and we want to do it right. So that's why it's taking longer. I am so excited about this. I can't wait till we start this. And I'm not saying that when we start this, it's like a magic wand. Here we are, and this is the silver bullet, and now we're going to zoom to the stars in terms of becoming, a mass movement overnight. I'm not saying that. It's going to take us time to build the pages up, even once we have the pages. But I do think it's going to offer us quality news sites that will give us something to be proud of. And I think we're going to enjoy, I think you'll enjoy posting there. I think you're going to enjoy the sites. And it'll give us something to promote all over the place. Of course, this week is going to be Rosh Hashanah, the new year, the Jewish new year. Starting on Wednesday night, and it goes, it's 2 days, and we're going to actually have this week is the first out of 4 weeks of Jewish holidays. We have 4 weeks of holidays coming up. And I do want to wish all of our members a wonderful new year, Jews and Gentiles. We, in the Jewish faith, believe that Gentiles are also judged on this New Year's, that God judges the whole human race on this New Year's, because this is the New Year's when God created the world and created human beings. This is the day when he did. And all of humanity is judged on this day. Of course, most of the humanity doesn't even know that, but we believe that that is what takes place. So I want to wish all of our wonderful JTF members, the Jews and Righteous Gentiles of JTF, I want to wish all of you a wonderful new year. This is where it's decided if we're going to be in the Book of Life or, God forbid, the opposite. If we're going to be healthy or, God forbid, not healthy. It decides our financial status and whether we're going to be successful. So it's a very important day. Shana Tova. Good year. May there be a good and successful year for all of us in trying to make this a better world, for you and for your family and for your loved ones. And finally, we're getting into the home stretch now. Shlomo is working on the pages, and I don't think it'll be that much longer, but he's working on the pages. I keep calling them pages. I mean the websites, the independent news websites, which are not going to be really pages. They're going to be actual independent news websites on our server, on our website. And so we're going to be coming to the point where you'll be able to really help us, and you can help us even now with this. I mean, we need your help. Here's how you can help us. Number one, of course we need your prayers. And in this this time of New Year's, Rosh Hashanah, prayers are very important. We need your prayers. Pray, please pray for our success, that we succeed in getting our message out and in working to make this a better world, to work to redeem the world. Secondly, when we do put up Hebrew and English videos, please like and comment and favorite and share and mirror. I know I'm mixing up all the terms here. Mira is on YouTube, share is on Facebook, favoriting is only on YouTube, but you know what I'm saying. I'm saying all the terms that are used for YouTube and for Facebook. Promote us on YouTube, on Facebook, everywhere you can when we put up videos in Hebrew and in English. That's the second thing you could do. So first is pray. Second is help promote our videos. Third thing, please, we need quality posts and quality threads on our forums. And soon, when we have our news pages, we're going to want you to be active on those news pages. And only good quality stuff. No pettiness, no infighting. We're going to be very strict. We're going to pull you off in 2 seconds if anybody's going to make a mess of what we're doing. We're not going to allow people to embarrass us in front of new people, in front of new people who we hope will be coming to the page. So I just want to tell people, We don't want any fighting or any pettiness or any silliness. We'll pull you off right away. We're going to be much stricter than we are on the forum. We do not want anybody embarrassing us with nonsense on that page. I mean, the vast majority of posts and threads from our members on our forum are wonderful threads, and our members are wonderful members. We love you. You're wonderful people. But once in a while, people start these petty things and back and forth and start fighting, and we don't want that. We can't afford to have that on our new page, because we're working very hard on this and we're counting on this. So we can't afford to have that. We're going to need high quality stuff. We're going to need great posts and responses. So you'll have a chance to respond to the things that we put up. And so we'll need your help with that. That's the third thing. And the fourth. So the first thing is praying for us. Second thing is Hebrew and English videos, promoting them. And the third thing is writing on both on the forums and especially when we have these new independent news websites to be active on them. Very important to write good stuff for them and good posts and respond to what we're doing intelligently and provide us with, also make suggestions for interesting stuff for us. You know, we need your help. That's the third thing. And the fourth thing, last but not least, of course we need your financial support. This is a time of year when it's a good time of year for you to contribute. It's a time of year when God judges all of us. And I hope that God's judgment is favorable toward all the wonderful people on all the wonderful Jews and righteous Gentiles on our forum. We need your help. We need your help in order to promote what we're planning to do. We have a lot of plans, a lot of things we're going to be trying, and this is a time when we really need your help. Your checks and money orders and cash donations sent through the regular mail to our post office box make a big difference. Every check, every money order, every cash donation, it really does make a big difference. We need your help. God bless the great JTFers who send us on a regular basis checks and money orders and cash donations. God bless you. And if you prefer to do it online, if you think it's more convenient, or for you, it's for some people it's more convenient online, for some people it's more convenient to send a check in the mail, makes no difference to us. If you want to send a check in the regular mail, that's fine. If you want to do it online, you can do it through PayPal, through our PayPal account. You just go to the donate button on hayamin.org. Hayamin.org is our Hebrew main page, our Hebrew main site. You go to hayamin.org, and on top, in English, is a donate button. You click on the donate button, and in several minutes, you can conveniently, through PayPal, with your credit card, donate directly to our organization, to our movement. God bless the wonderful JTFers who are helping us. God bless you. Again, may you have a wonderful new year. We love you, and we look forward to working with you in the new year. We look forward to making our new news sites successful sites, God willing. That's what we look forward to this time. Facebook or YouTube, or they can't take this down. This is going to be us. This is going to be on our own web servers. So we can't be taken down for nonsense this time. And so we really look forward to it, and we're looking forward to working together with you and making a difference. Whatever you do to make this a better world, whatever you do to touch people's lives and help make this a better world, that's the real reason why we're in this world. That's what makes life worth living. When you know that you're making this a better world, when you know you're changing people's lives for the better, when you know that you're telling the truth and spreading the truth, that's what makes life worth living. Anyway, let's go now to our questions from our great JTFers. And we start out with, let me just check this quickly. Yes, this looks good. We start out with the great Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, Der Chaim, which of the four people below made the world a better place when they were alive? And then there are four people listed here. I'm going to read them off. I think all of them were pretty bad. But anyway, they're all people in the entertainment business, which I think is a business that lends itself to pretty rotten people generally. We start off with Orson Welles. Orson Welles was extremely talented. His movie Citizen Kane was a masterpiece. It was one of the best movies ever made. It really was a masterpiece. It's a movie about a wealthy media tycoon, and it really shows how the wealthy people like Sulzberger of the New York Nazi Times and the Hearst. It was really about William Hearst from the Hearst newspaper chain. But it shows how these media tycoons, what evil, nasty, disgusting people, Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, it would be relevant to today even. It's called Citizen Kane. And it's really a great movie. Unfortunately, though, even though he made great movies, he promoted terrible causes his whole life. He was a strong leftist his whole life, strong supporter of the mass murderer Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Yimach Shmova Zichro, who was responsible for the Holocaust, for the murder of 6 million Jews, because he didn't bomb the rail lines to Auschwitz and he didn't destroy the concentration camps. Roosevelt was responsible for the Holocaust. Orson Welles was a strong supporter of FDR and a strong supporter of other leftist causes. He was a strong left-wing Democrat his whole life. And he associated with the Hollywood leftists. So I have to say that someone with that money and that power that uses it to support the left, I think that that's negative. I think that's a negative influence on the world and a disgrace. Next is Rock Hudson. next person that the Wandering Samurai is asking about is Rock Hudson. Rock Hudson, again, was a talented actor, but he was a completely immoral person and a very sick person. He was an active homosexual. He eventually died of AIDS in the 1980s. I think people know his story, right? He died of AIDS. This is someone who, you know, after it became known that he was sick with AIDS, he, of course, immediately started promoting his perversion and his immorality and trying to get sympathy for AIDS and saying there's nothing wrong with the homosexual lifestyle. He could have said before he died, I mean, when he was sick, he could have said, you know, look at the terrible thing I did, look at the mistake I made, don't do what I did. You know, that would have been, at least then he would have been trying to influence people to lead a better life. Instead, he said, no. He tried to make people dying of AIDS into heroes and homosexuals into heroes. So I believe that his influence was also negative. He was another immoral person. And Wandering Samurai now asks about John Candy. John Candy was a Canadian actor and comedian. Again, he promoted immorality his whole life, Saturday Night Live. I remember seeing him on Saturday Night Live and just his jokes and his movies and the people he associated with and the Hollywood crowd. He promoted immorality. That makes this world a worse place. And finally, Wandering Samurai asks about Luther Vandross, who is a black so-called musician. So-called, I mean, it's not real music, it was garbage. But anyway, Luther Vandross, he of course also associated with all the evil people in the so-called entertainment industry, all the black racists and anti-Semites. He was associated with all of them. He supported all of them. So I think he was a bad person. That's it, Wandering Samurai. That's the four people that Wandering Samurai asked about. And again, you know, when people ask me these things, yes, my views are negative on these people because I think the Hollywood people and the actors and the actresses and the so-called artists, I think that generally they have a negative influence on our culture. And in this case, all four of these people, in my opinion, had a negative influence. Next, we go to the great Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, I would like to wish you, your whole family, and my fellow JTFers a very happy new year, unquote. Thank you, Joe, and the same to you. I wish you and your loved ones a very happy new year. And as I did in my opening, I wish, of course, all of our fellow JTFers the same. Thank you, Joe. And we go now to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, what's the difference between a Kahanist Jew and non-Kahanist religious Jew who is a good Jew? Who are examples? Shana Tova. Shana Tova means good new year. Okay, great question. Well, a Kahanist Jew has certain principles based on the Torah that we can't, a Kahanist Jew says we cannot continue to live with millions of hostile Arabs who want to destroy the Jewish people in the Holy Land. If we're going to leave them there, we're going to have problems. We're going to have terrorism. We're going to have a danger demographically. The Jewish state cannot possibly prosper and survive and live with true security if we're going to constantly have this cancer within us of millions of Arabs who despise us. That's the Kahanist view. A non-Kahanist religious Jew may not take that view, may not say that, or doesn't support the movement that would actually take action to encourage these millions of Arabs to leave, because most of them want to leave. And if we encourage them to leave and have a program for them to leave, they will leave. So a non-Kahanist Jew who might be religious, he might be a good Jew, but he doesn't, the non-Kahanist Jews don't understand that our movement has been right and that Rabbi Kahana was right about this. They may not understand that. That may be the difference. Or they may not be willing to say these things because they think, I don't know, they think it might be harmful to them because for their funding, for what they're trying to do. That also happens. You want an example? You want examples of non-Kahanist religious Jews who are good Jews? Okay. Harav Dov Lior. Rabbi Dov Lior. Harav Dov Lior. He is not a Kahanist, but he is a great rabbi and the head of a yeshiva and a very good Jew. And when he gives his piskei halacha, his halachic rulings are good rulings, and he's definitely a great Torah scholar. So I would use him as an example, Rabbi Dov Lior. Another example I would use is probably Knesset member Moshe Feiglin. We have differences of opinion with him. He wants to legalize pot. He wants to legalize marijuana. And he takes other positions that I don't agree with. He supports people in the Likud that I think are bad people. So I don't agree with a lot of the things that he's done, but generally speaking, he's against giving up any land under any circumstances. He does favor a program to offer compensation to the Arabs to leave Israel. So there are a lot of good aspects of what he stands for. So I would characterize him as a non-Kahanist, but definitely a good religious Jew. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And we now go to our great friend Catnip, who writes, and I quote, "Are donations to JTF tax deductible for Canadian citizens? P.S. We are big fans in Nova Scotia. If you ever visit Nova Scotia, you can stay for free with us," unquote. Thank you so much, Catnip. That's very nice of you. If they'd let me into Canada, I don't know if they even let me into Canada. You know, obviously, if I could get speaking dates, I wouldn't mind going to speak there. No, unfortunately, JTF is not tax deductible for Canadian citizens. In fact, JTF is not tax deductible in the United States either. We have a tax deductible organization. It's called the Voice of Jewish Activism, or VJA. VJA is tax deductible. JTF is not, because JTF is political. If it's political, you can't make it tax deductible, or it's not supposed to be. Of course, the leftists can do anything they want in America because the IRS is controlled by the left and controlled by Obama. But technically, according to the law, you're not supposed to have political organizations that are tax deductible. So JTF is political. So JTF is not tax deductible in the United States either. But VJA, the Voice of Jewish Activism, which is what people give to when they go to our PayPal account. If someone goes to our PayPal account and makes a contribution to us online through PayPal, gives to VJA, that is tax deductible. Or if someone makes a checkout or a money order to VJA, that is tax deductible. VJA is tax deductible, and it helps the cause. So we have a tax deductible organization that can help. Let me clarify just so there's no confusion. VJA is tax deductible only in the United States. Only in the United States. We don't have any tax deductible groups in Canada, unfortunately. Thank you, Catnip. And we go now to our great friend Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Ice-T defended racist comments against whites made by his fellow Schwarzer Lord Jamar when Jamar accused Whitey Macklemore of promoting homosexuality, which Jamar considered typical part of white culture. Ice-T said that Lord Jamar was brand Nubian member and therefore his pro-black view should be expected and respected. Can you imagine white musician defending someone's affiliation with KKK? Not that I support KKK. Yamashmo Bezichro, comment on all of this," unquote. Okay, well, I mean, obviously I agree with everything you're saying. Look, these black rap noisemakers and criminals and people in so-called black entertainers, almost all of them are racists. Almost all of them are racists and anti-Semites. This guy says that homosexuality is part of white culture. No, actually, homosexuality is much more prevalent in black culture. Much more prevalent. I didn't know this until I went to prison. But what I saw in prison, I couldn't believe. It is blacks who are a much higher percentage of them are involved with perverted homosexual behavior. Much higher percentage. Just look at the latest AIDS statistics. Do you know that the vast majority of new people being infected every year with AIDS are black males? Most of them because they're involved in homosexual sex? Homosexuality is very widespread and prevalent among blacks. The vast majority of whites are not involved in homosexuality. I mean, that's a fact. There are, of course, white homosexuals, but the vast majority of whites are not involved with this. Whereas among blacks, this is very widespread throughout the black community. And that's why they're all getting AIDS. That's why so many are being infected with AIDS. Black males are only 6 or 7% of America's population. Okay, blacks are, I think, 14% of the population or something like that. So black males are 7%, right? Half of 14 is 7% black males. And yet they're the overwhelming majority of new people infected with AIDS every year. And most of that is not because of intravenous drug use. Intravenous drug use is another reason. But most of it is because of homosexual activity. Just look at the official statistics out of Atlanta. I forgot the name of the federal agency that tracks it. The CDC, is it the Center of Disease Control or something like that? Look at the statistics every year. Look at Africa. Look at AIDS in Africa. And this animal says it's part of white culture. Everything that they do, they try to push off on everybody else. It's like the Arabs always blaming the Jews for doing everything that the Arabs, that it's whatever they accuse the Jews of, it's they themselves are the ones who do all of these things 1,000 times over. Evil people always like to accuse everybody else, especially their victims, of the evil characteristics that are their characteristics, that are their own traits. They always like to do that. Anyway, thank you, Smash Islam. And we go now to our great friend, Kalman Ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Reb Chaim, can you tell us the story of the Crown Heights pogrom? Thank you, unquote. Okay, I'll try to sum it up as best I can. In 1991, a car driven by a Lubavitcher Hasidic Jew accidentally ran over a black child in Crown Heights. And as a result of that, there were huge riots for 4 days. Yankel Rosenbaum, a yeshiva student from Australia, was walking down the street. He didn't know anything about this. He didn't even know that there was a car accident. Yankel Rosenbaum was walking down the street, and a mob of 20 blacks screamed, "Get the Jew," and they stabbed him repeatedly, murdered him. They murdered him in cold blood. Al Sharpton, of course, was there preaching and inciting murder against the Jews all the time, screaming and yelling, "No Jew! Yeah, them Jew! Them Jew diamond dealers!" David Dinkins, another black Jew hater, he was the mayor at the time. He ordered the cops to allow the blacks to riot for 4 days. He basically ordered the cops to lay off and let the blacks do whatever they want for 4 days. The person who directly stabbed Yankel Rosenbaum to death was an ape named Lemrick Nelson Yamashmo, a Nazi ape named Lemrick Nelson Yamashmo Vazichro. This filthy, murderous piece of subhuman excrement went on trial for murder and was found not guilty of all charges by a black jury. Black jury just let him off, let him walk. So, that's what happened in Crown Heights. I mean, it was really an incredible time in 1991. And that should have been a lesson to the Jews of what they're dealing with, the blacks that they supported so zealously and fought for in the civil rights movement. But of course, did the Jews learn anything from it? No. They didn't learn anything. Look at them still kissing black behind and supporting Obama for president. They learned nothing. They learned nothing, unfortunately. And the reason they learned nothing is because Rabbi Kahana was murdered and we weren't around to teach them anything. We weren't, you know, I was on probation. I couldn't do anything. My hands were tied. Rabbi Kahana had been murdered. And all these years, we never had the budget to reach people with our message on a massive scale. If we could reach people on a massive scale, at least hundreds of thousands of Jews in America, and I'm talking about in America, would wake up, millions in Israel would wake up, and hundreds of thousands in America would wake up if we had a decent budget. But until JTF has a decent budget, until the true Kahanists have a decent budget, no matter what happens, the Jews will never learn their lesson, because there'll never be anybody there to say, hey, look at this, wake up, what's going on over here? Nobody. Nobody will be there to say that to them. And unfortunately, they need that. They're not smart enough to figure it out on their own. That we've seen over and over again in history. I'm sorry to say, they're just not smart enough to figure it out on their own. But if somebody were there, then we could change things. Look at how successful on Facebook. Look at how we in 3 months we had 27,000 members signing up on our Facebook page. And people, when they see the truth, finally someone telling the truth, it will attract more and more Jews. So we could do it if we just had the budget, if we just had the resources, or if we just had the opportunity that we need. We could do it. But until we're there to tell them the truth, it isn't going to happen. They're not going to wake up. Thank you, Kalman. And we now go to our great friend DGR81, who writes, and I quote, "Hello, Chaim. My theory as to why evil people live so long is they're so horrible, neither the devil nor God wants them. Your thoughts, please," unquote. Well, I think God does want to take the lives of evil people. And in fact, we're taught that when evil people die, we're supposed to celebrate. So God does want to destroy evil people, to take them. It's a punishment when evil people live long lives. Not all evil people live long lives. A lot of evil people die young. A lot of them do. But unfortunately, we also have people like Shimon Peres, who's 90 years old, that animal who's responsible for murdering so many Jews, and who never stops working to undermine Israel, that monster. We see them living on and on and on. He's 90 years old already. So this is a punishment. This is a punishment. But God willing, when there finally is a righteous generation, you're not going to see this happening anymore. Thank you, DGR. At least you won't see it on the same level. And now we go to our great friend Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Chaim, have you ever told a Jewish politician to their face that they are self-hating Jew? I want to do that so bad to Rahm Emanuel and Jan Schakowsky," unquote. Oh, yeah. Oh, many times. Many times. I said it to Schmuck Schumer. I said it to that animal Gary Ackerman, who was a congressman from New York. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely, I've done that. I've heckled a lot of Jewish politicians, self-hating Jewish politicians. Heckled Henry Kissinger. Heckled Jacob Javits, Yimach Shmo, when he was a senator from New York. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, we've told this. I have had the privilege of saying this to their face. Absolutely. Edwina Koch. Absolutely. And of course, if we had a mass movement and we were constantly exposing them, at least every sane Jew would know not to go near these Jewish politicians. That would be one of the great advantages of us becoming a mass movement instead of AIPAC, which is a self-hating organization. If JTF were there, that would lead to at least a voice of sanity in the Jewish community. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to the great Mensch, who writes, and I quote, "I think Israel must attain military independence since it's very likely that Hillary Clinton will become president. Israel needs to start preparations now," unquote. Absolutely. We're on the same page here, Mensch. We agree with each other. Absolutely, we agree with each other. I do not believe, obviously, Israel's not doing that under Netanyahu, and it's not going to happen unless we, again, I've been saying this over and over again because it's part of the answer to every single question here. We're the only ones that say that Israel has to do this, so until we become big and a big force for change, until we become a big force for change in Israel, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But yes, we should be encouraging this and we should be saying this. Israel can do it and must do it. Absolutely. Thank you, Mensch. And we go now to the great Lewinsky stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, Bob Novak, yimach shmo v'zichro, the Jewish fag Buchanan, unquote. Oh, absolutely. He was such a Nazi Jew hater. Bob Novak was born Jewish and converted to Catholicism. You know, Jews who convert are always the worst anti-Semites. They hate their own people. That's one of the reasons why they leave the Jewish faith. I mean, this guy was the ultimate example. I mean, just such a vicious Jew hater. He wrote columns for decades trying to hurt Israel and smearing Israel and accusing the Jews of all types of nefarious things. I mean, just the lowest of the low. A vile, vile Jewish apostate. The lowest of the low. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, your take on sending 10 million Negroes to Latvia, unquote. Oh, what a wonderful program. That would be a dream come true. 10 million Negroes to Latvia. You know, when is this dream going to happen? I would love to see it happen. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm all in favor. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, quote, curse the Coptic Pope, unquote. Yeah, the Coptic Pope is an anti-Semite. Look, he works with the Egyptian military regime. So, of course, he's going to issue statements. You know, he's trying to show the Muslims, you know, he's trying to show what a good servant he is of the Muslims, because he works for the Muslims. The Muslims tell him what to say and tell him what to do. You have a Coptic so-called Christian minority in Egypt. They bend over backwards to try to appease the Muslims. They are so anti-Israel and so anti-Jewish because they're trying, when they're in Egypt at least, because they're trying, you know, to prove themselves to the Muslims. That's what happens when you live in a Muslim country. That's what happens. So I have actually met, occasionally I've met Egyptian, and you know that my family comes from Egypt. I have actually met, on occasion, Egyptian Christians who told me that they hate the Muslims and that they support Israel. So, but they have to be very secretive about it. If they said this in Egypt, the Muslims would cut their throat. That's why they shouldn't be in Egypt. They should get the hell out of there. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, the Allies won World War II for nothing. Well, I certainly don't think the Allies did what they should have done. They should have punished the Nazis far more severely. But obviously defeating Hitler and fascism and Nazism was necessary. But I agree with you that they certainly did not. There are a lot of things they didn't do that they should have done. There's no question about that. Germany and Japan never paid a price, never were made to pay a price, a real price, for the unbelievable crimes they committed. In the next world, of course, they will. Will they pay. They'll pay for eternity. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go now to Poap Menot, who writes, and I quote, Jews don't want blacks in their communities due to higher crime rate. Do conservative non-Jews correct in avoiding Jews due to higher liberalism rate? Unquote. If you don't want to associate with Jews, don't associate with Jews. What can I tell you? You don't want to associate with Jews, don't associate with Jews. Next is the great paper cut, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, the ugly whore from Austria who went to ISIS and got killed, how fried is she by now? Original or extra crispy? Unquote. No question that, you know, anybody who wants to promote the Muslims and especially the Muslim terrorists and goes to the Muslim world and falls in love with the Muslims and does everything they can to help the Muslims, you know, and certainly those who join Muslim terrorist organizations, I think their punishment is going to be much deeper. You know, we believe there are levels of hell. We believe we call it the seven circles of hell. We believe there are different levels of hell because God is a righteous God, and he judges, you know, even the evil. He judges, he doesn't give everybody the same sentence. He doesn't give just someone who was just generally evil the same sentence as he would give Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, of course, they get or Mohammed or, you know, real monsters like this, they get much more severe punishment. So, I think, in my opinion, someone who was born in the Western world and knowingly goes out of their way to join Islam and join the Muslim terrorists, I think their punishment is much more severe than someone who was born a Muslim and became a Muslim terrorist. I think the punishment of someone who goes out of their way and joins them when they were exposed to the Western world and then joins these monsters, I think the punishment for someone who converts to Islam is going to be much more severe than someone who was born a Muslim. Much more severe. Thank you, Papercut. And we go now to a new friend of ours, Rachel613. Welcome to ASJTF and welcome to our movement. Rachel613 writes, and I quote, Can anyone help with the anti-Semitic troll problem on the Jerusalem Post talkback site? Jerusalem Post certainly cannot. They deny all responsibility for it, unquote. Well, the Jerusalem Post certainly can stop it if they want to. You know, they can control who posts on their site. But they just want a lot of activity on their site, so they don't remove the posts because they want action on their site. So they allow the anti-Semites to get the upper hand in the discussions that go on there and the talk back that goes on there. They allow the anti-Semites to win the argument and overwhelm the argument with trolling and it's terrible. I mean, if they do that, that's a disgrace. I haven't seen it. I mean, I can't stand the Jerusalem Post. I can't stand the newspaper in print. I never could stand them. And it was the Palestine Post originally, by the way. You know, and it still should be. That should be their real name. But anyway, the Palestine Post, their talkback site, you know, I'm not surprised that they allow this to happen. Now, when we have our news sites, which we're setting up, Rachel, we're setting up news sites soon, God willing, one in Hebrew, one in English. We're also going to allow people who disagree with us to come on and debate and argue. But we're not going to allow anti-Semites to come and flood the site and overwhelm the site, you know, and troll. You know, that we're not going to allow. I mean, people can come on and debate and argue, but if they try to abuse it, of course we're going to prevent them from coming on. Thank you, Rachel. And we go now to the great Selhar, who is also active on our Hebrew forum, of course. Selhar writes, and I quote, "The First Minister of Scotland is rapidly anti-Jewish. I think they don't deserve independence. They deserve exile and destruction that they wish on us," unquote. I agree with you, Selhar. He is anti-Jewish. And the Scottish regime is anti-Jewish, and the Scottish National Party is anti-Jewish. There's no question about it. But Selhar, who murdered 6 million Jews during the Holocaust? The British. Great Britain did this. Great Britain is now, together with Germany and France and the European Union, they are a major source of our problems in Israel. They fund all the leftist groups that are working to destroy us. I mean, the fact is Great Britain has the blood of 6 million Jews on their hands, and they're working to destroy Israel and have done everything they can to destroy Israel. They've been a terrible enemy of the Jewish people. They are the more serious enemy. That's why we wanted Scotland to break away from them, because we wanted to deliver a blow to these vicious Jew haters. I happen to think that in the long term it would have been better for the Scottish people had they broken away. I do think the Scottish people in the long term would have been better off, because I think the British only exploit people, and you know they stupidly gave in to all the fear. You know, the British scared them and said, "Oh, we're going to remove our businesses," and they got all the Scottish businesses to threaten to move their operations to London. You know, so they scared them, and they stupidly gave in. But my goal here at Selhar, I don't care about it. I don't care if you have a country of Scotland with 5 million people against us, the way you have these other small countries in Europe against us. I don't care about that as much as I care about the Great Britain with 63 million people working against us. That is a much more serious threat, much more serious danger. And that's why we supported independence for Scotland. But in the end, it didn't happen anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. The Scottish people chickened out, unfortunately. The majority of them showed that they would rather be slaves of London and that they don't have the courage to go it on their own and to be independent. Thank you, Tselhar. And we go now to our great friend Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "One, have you traveled on New Jersey Transit? Do you have any affirmative action stories to tell from New Jersey Transit?" Unquote. I have traveled on New Jersey Transit, yes. There are times when I've visited New Jersey and I've had to use New Jersey Transit to get around. I don't remember any affirmative action. First of all, it's been a long time. I haven't been on New Jersey Transit for many, many years. But I don't remember any affirmative action stories from New Jersey Transit, to tell you the truth. I don't. Binyamin now writes, "Have you traveled on the Metro North Railroad? Any affirmative action stories?" Unquote. Yes, I've also traveled on Metro North. I have traveled on Metro North. And again, I don't remember affirmative action stories on that. I don't remember. I haven't traveled frequently. I was on New Jersey Transit. Maybe I was on New Jersey Transit twice in my life. Metro North I was on maybe five or six times. I don't remember any affirmative action stories there, even though Metro North runs through Harlem. But I don't remember and runs through some areas where you'd have a lot of affirmative action activity. But when I was traveling on Metro North, it was early in the morning, like 7 in the morning, 6, 7 in the morning, when usually the affirmative action people are not up and not, you know, the type of people who do these things are usually asleep at that hour. I don't know, but I don't recall anything in terms of affirmative action occurring at that time. Thank you, Binyamin. Well, let me see here what's going on here. Okay. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, shalom. And actually, next week also means next year, because next week will be the beginning of a new Jewish year. So Shana Tova, good new year, and a successful and prosperous and healthy new year to all of our great members. And until next week, hopefully we'll have some good news coming up soon in terms of the news sites. Until then, shalom.